May only the truth be spoken and only the truth be heard. Amen. Please be seated. You always hear something new which changes your sermon as you're actually listening to the readings in the morning. So as I was hearing the gospel read this morning, I kind of chuckled to myself because I only have one son. And yes, Saturday is chore day in our house. So yesterday I said, Finn, I need you to get the floors done. The floors are his job before supper. And he said, nah, Mom, I'm not doing that. But then he did. So the gospel speaks of that. But I'm here today, of course, because it's this launch of your stewardship season, and no one likes to talk about money, so let's invite the bishop and make her do it. I understand how this works. And there's always a certain awkwardness about talking about money in churches, especially for us who were paid by the church to then kind of have to get up and sing for our supper, it sometimes feels like. But I want us to think about stewardship today as a spiritual practice. A while ago, I was with the Namgis people in Alert Bay, and we were, I don't even know what we were talking about. We were talking about potlatch eventually. And a woman said to me, well, in our culture, we judge how rich a person is not by how much they have, but by how much they give away. And that, she said, is the essence of potlatch. And I was thinking about that, I'm still thinking about that, and part of me wants to say, well, the same is true in my culture, like in the Christian culture, the same is true, right? That we define kind of how rich we are, if we want to put it that way, by how much we give away. Like we heard in the epistle reading today, you know, it's in self-emptying ourselves that we come to the fullness of life that Christ calls us to. But I also know what she was saying to me when she said, you know, in our culture, she was criticizing the Western culture, right, which we are so much a part of, which says that you have a net worth, which has nothing to do with you being a child of God, beloved, created in the image of God, but has everything to do with your assets, right? And all the time we have this culture telling us that we should consume and we should hoard. And it's so hard as a church, as a culture, to remind ourselves that in fact it is what we give away. It is how we empty ourselves. It is in service that we are truly kind of defined and we are truly children of God. And so I'd invite you today to think about stewardship as a spiritual practice, as something that is good not for the church, but for your own soul, for your own well-being, because it puts you back in touch with truly who you are, with your true worth as a child of God. My brother is a Pentecostal pastor. They are much better at tithing than us, right? And they have no shame, kind of, in talking about tithing. We Anglicans are a little bit shy about it, and we compromise right off the bat, most of us, with this 10% tithe that the Pentecostals would never compromise on. We Anglicans often suggest that, yes, 10% is the amount. Once someone asked me, is it net or gross, and I just laughed hysterically. I was like, if you're even thinking about 10%, that's great, you know? We're not going to quibble. But Anglicans often talk, I hope you've maybe heard this, about how 5% perhaps, or half, is for the church, and half is for the wider world. Most Anglicans are very generous, not only to the church, but also to other charities and other causes. And that's important. That's part of the spiritual practice of this. It's not just the church that is you are called to give to. It's all the needs of the world. But I also think that the most important thing about stewardship is that we give first. And we see this in Scripture. We're called to give the first fruits and not the leftovers to God. In joyful thanksgiving, we take stock of everything we have been given, and the first thing we do is we return a portion of it to the community at large. Once upon a time in my life as a priest, I somehow ended up serving in Toronto in the wealthiest postal code in Canada. A lot of the people in that church had a very high net worth and had their names on buildings and the like. And stewardship in that parish was actually the hardest of any of the parishes I've ever served in, because everybody looked around and thought, well, they don't need my money, they can just have his, right? Which is not good for your soul, right? Just down the street from us was Timothy Eaton United Church. So they were also smack in the middle of the richest postal code in Canada. And the United Church minister there said to me once, he says, Anna, he says, the biggest problem in this church is our endowment. And I said, well, tell me about that. And he says, well, it's so damn big. So there's this huge amount of apathy in the congregation. I'd love for that endowment to go away, he said. So stewardship as a spiritual practice. Churches are held together by the fact that we all give thanks for what we have received, and we all willingly give the first fruits of our gifts back to the community as a whole so that we can feast together, so that we can worship together, so that we can share with one another, so that we can break bread with one another. That's the joy of stewardship. And it works. So whatever you do this year in the stewardship campaign or whatever you're calling it here in the parish, think of it as a spiritual practice. You're asked right now in this season of the year to think about what gift you might be able to give, what pledge you might be able to give next year in 2024. And there's a real wisdom to that, and I tell you that from my own experience, that when the first thing you do with your money is figure out what portion of it you're going to give away, it makes you feel rich. We've struggled over the years, you know, with a young family and with feeling like there isn't enough and with rising interest rates and all that stuff, but we have enough. And we always know we have enough because the first thing we do with a portion of our money is we give part of it away. And then somehow we're always able to make the rest of it work. Sometimes some years it's easier, some years it's harder. But I am standing here before you. I slept in a bed last night. I am well fed. My children are well fed. It all works itself out. And so whatever situation you're in, whether you feel like you have enough or whether you feel like you don't quite have enough, at this time of year, we think about what portion of what we've been given we're able to give back. And we do that first, not so much because the church or the community needs it, but because we need to do that. Because it centers ourselves in our blessedness. It centers us in that sense of abundance and of blessing from which we are, in fact, most fully alive, in which we know our net worth, as it were, as a child of God. And so at this time of year, as there is so much abundance around us, someone dropped off at the Synod office this week this huge box of apples. She said, I don't know what to do with these. You good people could use them. And that's a wonderful symbol, right, of the abundance. When we truly look around, there is enough, and there's probably enough that we can offer something for the gifts of the whole. And so, as you begin your stewardship season, I invite you to give not the leftovers, but the first fruits. And I invite you to do so not grudgingly, but joyfully, because it will bring you abundant life. Amen.